Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your desire to not only accept us, in spite of the fact, Lord God, that all by ourselves we're not very acceptable, but, Lord, your desire to work in our lives, to encourage us, to challenge us, to help us to become all that we can be, to bless us. And, Father, I pray that you would help us to reach the full potential of everything that you have for us. That's part of what we've been talking about, Lord, in this sermon series on blessed and on your blessings in our lives. Father, I pray that you'd help us to have a balanced understanding of what it means to be blessed by you and why and how. And Father, I pray for every single person who can hear this message today, that they would experience every blessing you have for them, that nothing would get in the way. And Lord, if there is something in the way, that they would do what they need to do to get that out of the way. Father, we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been in this sermon series called Blessed. Blessed. We have been tremendously blessed. You know, without even looking at the details, without even doing any more talking about it, we can just look around today and know that we have been blessed. We have things so much better than most of the rest of the world, things that we just take for granted. But yet we understand that God is the one who brings blessing to our lives. And the purpose of this series is just for us to understand, what is it that God wants to do in our lives? How is it that he wants to bless us? And to try to avoid the two extremes. The one extreme of just wanting everything we can have for ourselves just because we want what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. And then the other extreme that would say, well, it's really unspiritual to want much from God because there are so many people that are suffering around the world. That means I shouldn't try to enjoy life. I should just make it through and plan on enjoying my experience in heaven. And you find those two extremes. But we find in God's word that God does want to bless his people. In fact, God wants to bless all people. But the greatest blessing and the foundation for all the other blessings is to have a relationship with him. So we've talked about a number of things in this process today. It's the fourth message, and I'd encourage you that if you've missed the other three or any of them, that you'd go back and listen to them online or on our mobile app in some way or another. The first message was called God Bless You. And we dug into the basic truths, and we looked specifically at the story of the creation of Adam and Eve and how the very first thing God did for them after creating them was to bless them. And the idea of God blessing is that God wants what is best for us. And God wants what is good for us. But then in that same message, we talked about why it is that we don't always, in fact, many times it seems like we hardly ever experience that. And it's because sin gets in the way. And we went back to that same story in Genesis of Adam and Eve and how when they chose to disobey God, and they chose sin, that sin got in the way of God's blessings in their life. And we saw that those principles are true still today. And when you look through history in general, Bible history, when you look in your own life, God desires to bless us. But sin gets in the way. Whether it's our sin or somebody else's sin and the consequences and repercussions of their sin roll over and flow over into our lives, or just the fact that we live in a sinful, fallen world in which there is a lot of sickness, sorrow, death, pain. And to be honest with you, as long as we live in this world, no matter how close we are to God, we're still going to go through some of those things until we get to the other side. But we still many times miss some of the blessings that God wants to give us because sin gets in the way. The second message was called Successful Sinners and Suffering Saints. And I wanted to immediately deal with the objection, well, if God really wants to bless his people, and the flip side of that is that those who do evil and those who do sin, God wants to restrain them. Why is it that in this world we see so many successful sinners. So many people who are enjoying life, even though they're ignoring God. And why is it so many of God's people are suffering so deeply? And if that's a question on your mind, you weren't here, go back and listen to that message. We dealt with that at that time. And then last week, I talked about blessed to be a blessing. That yes, God does want to bless us because He loves us and He wants what's best for us. But He doesn't just bless us for our benefit. He blesses us because He wants His blessing to flow through us to other people. And we looked at the story of Abraham. So today, we're going to be going on to this fourth message. And the title of this message is Blessed with Prosperity and Success. Now, how many of you like that title? Yeah, the rest of you are lying. You're just too lazy to raise your hand. You know, when I first announced that I was going to be preaching about blessed, God's blessing, that may have been what you were really looking for. Yeah, how can I receive God's blessing? And hopefully you've gleaned a lot of truths about that along the way. But this is really what we've got in mind, isn't it? Man, I want to be prosperous. I want to be successful. And we all have different definitions of what that means. And if I ask you to draw up a list of what that would look like in your life, what is it that you desire? We would all have a different list, although there'd be some similarities. Probably most lists would have something to do with more money. Got quiet. See, isn't that kind of unspiritual? Well, it's reality, isn't it? Does God want to bless us with prosperity and success? I want to tell you, God does. But there is a very important point we need to distinguish, and that is that this is by God's definition of prosperity and success. You say, oh, that's a cop-out. Man, you're just trying to let God off the hook. No, I'm not. Because you see, we think we know what's best for us. We think we know that if I could just have that, I would be so happy. I'd be so satisfied. My life would be fulfilled. You know, my definition of prosperity and success is this, 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 and this. And I don't have that right now, or I don't have much of that right now. And if God would just give that to me, that would just make everything complete. It'd be perfect. But you know what? God knows better than we do what's best for us. Not very many amens on that. Well, that's okay. It's true anyway. God knows better than us what will truly be in our best interest, and not just for right now, but for eternity. I can't help but compare it to a parent and a child. You know, children think they know what's best. I got a lot of amens for that one. Yeah. You know, they think it's best if we actually had ice cream for dessert every meal. All right? Some of you adults think the same thing. Most realize that would not be what's best. You know, probably most 10, 11-year-olds would think it'd be really cool to be able to drive. Most adults realize that that would not be so cool for long. Okay? We all understand when we get on the adult side of things that there are limitations and restrictions and certain things that when we were younger, we thought would be good for us. But now that we've got some more maturity and some more understanding of how life works, that, okay, maybe what I thought was good when I was young isn't quite so good. And can I tell you that God is the ultimate parent? God knows all things. The way they work and how it happens and what's good and what's bad and what's best for you, because He knows you better than you know yourself. He created you uniquely. And He created you uniquely to have a unique relationship with Him. And He does know what's best for you. So here's the thing. I'm in the same boat you are. You know, if I had to make a list of what's prosperity and success, what do I want to have in my life, I could come up with a good list. But every day I have to face the choice of saying, God, this is what I would like. But God, Your will be done, because You know what's better for me than I do. You hear me pray that many times when we pray over prayer requests. Say, God, this is what we ask. This is what we want. We stand upon Your promises and we believe with all our heart You want what's best for us. So, Lord, You do what You want to do. Your will be done, because You know what's best. And can I tell you that if we could experience everything that God wants us to have, we'd be happy. We'd be satisfied. We might not have everything that's on our list right now, but we wouldn't care. And that's not just something that we can plan to experience in heaven, although that certainly is true. And the good news is that once we get there, there will be no more pain, sorrow, sickness, death. And we have such wonderful things to experience in God's kingdom. We did a Bible study series on that, on heaven, this last summer. In fact, you can listen to that online if you missed it and learn more about what God has in store for us into eternity. But even here in this life, God wants to bless us with prosperity and success, but it is according to His definition, but we can trust Him. In fact, if you are one of those who have served Him for any amount of time, you can look back on your life and perhaps you can point to times when you thought you knew better than God. And so you pursued something that He hadn't approved in your life. And now you can say, that was the wrong choice. I should have gone for what God said. And hopefully you can look at many times, many situations in your life where you had a certain thing in mind, maybe a certain person in mind, certain goal in mind, maybe a certain occupation in mind, and everything turned out different. But you know it's the way God wanted it to be, and now you can look back and say, I am so glad that God had His way. For most of us, if God wasn't involved, we might not be married to the person we're married to. We might not be living where we're living. And there's a lot of factors that are involved in that as well. It's a good thing or a bad thing. But can I tell you that when we find God's plans and purposes, when we allow Him to bless us with prosperity and success according to His definition, ultimately, we will never regret it. Now, I know I'm making just some blanket statements out there, but it's based upon the truth of God's Word. And I've found it to be true in my own life, and many of you have found it to be true also. Well, we're going to be looking at a specific person. In fact, it's not much of a secret. I told you it's Joshua. It's Joshua. God had called Joshua to a specific purpose. And God promised Joshua prosperity and success. And He told him how he could have it. How he could obtain it. Because you see, it wasn't just a guaranteed thing. Now, as far as God was concerned, it was guaranteed that God was going to bring it about if Joshua did what he was supposed to do. You see, Joshua had a part to play. And the same thing is true for each and every one of us. God wants to bless us. God wants us to experience what's absolutely best for us. He wants us to have prosperity and success. But can I tell you that God's ready to do His part? The question is, will we do our part? Of course, that leads to the thought, what is our part? And we're going to find that even though what God has for us, both as far as responsibilities, things He wants us to do, and the specific blessings He has for us may be different than what they were for Joshua, the principles are the same. And so that's what I want us to look at today as we talk about blessed with prosperity and success. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. And I'm going to go ahead and read the whole text, and we'll be referring back to it the rest of our time together here. But Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and maybe I should give you a little background in case you don't know who Joshua is. Most all of you probably know that Joshua is the one that fought that battle against Jericho, right? You know, because we've heard that story. We sung the song, right? And so we know that he's the one that fought, and it was kind of a weird battle. They marched around the city, and it fell down, and whatever. Yeah, that's the same Joshua. But what else do we know about Joshua? Joshua was a man of God that God had called to lead His people. But he had a really, really tough job. Because Joshua was taking over after Moses died. Moses is still considered by the Jewish people and has all through their history. He is the greatest man of God and leader of their people. Because basically he was. Now, Moses was not perfect. In fact, the study of his life is very, very interesting. When God called Moses, I got to preach on sometime. Basically, Moses says, here am I, send somebody else. He didn't want to do what God called him to do, but he finally gave in and did so and whatever. But anyway, it was under Moses' leadership that God's people were delivered from slavery in Egypt. And most of us know that story, too, from reading it, hearing about it, watching the movies, whatever. And after they were delivered out of slavery, they went to Mount Sinai at God's direction. They spent a year there. And while they were there, God gave specific instructions to Moses to pass along to his people, saying, okay, you know, I am your God. I have been your God ever since your forefather Abraham said, I will follow you. We talked about that last week. And I told your forefather Abraham and his descendants, Isaac and Jacob and all that, that I'm going to bless you as a nation. I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And now I've delivered you out of slavery, out of bondage. And I want to fulfill those promises. And here's how our relationship works. And God gave Moses a lot of instructions to give to his people about how that relationship was going to work. What God would do for them and what he expected from them. And so they left Mount Sinai, and the plan originally was that they would march straight to the promised land and they would basically move in. It was a trip perhaps of only 6 or 7 days travel by foot. But it took them 40 years. Why did it take 40 years? Well, basically it's because the men wouldn't stop for directions. No, not really. Why did it take 40 years? Because God says, I want to bless you with this land and all these other things I've promised. But here's what you need to do. And you know what? They didn't do it. They didn't trust God. They didn't do what he said to do. And God says, okay, you can wander in the desert for 40 years and all of you who didn't trust me will die there. And then your children will have to make the same choice. Will they trust me? And if they do, they'll inherit the promises. Because God had made the promise and he wasn't going to go back on his promise. His promise was unconditional. But he was waiting for his people to do what they were supposed to do. Well, now Joshua's taken over. Moses has died. And Joshua, as I said, had a really difficult job because he's stepping into the shoes of this great leader, Moses. It's like, how can I live up to him? How can I be as good of a leader as he is? Perhaps some of the thoughts he was thinking. Not only that, but he's called to lead this group of people who've been very fickle and very rebellious in their history. And it's like, are they going to listen to me? Or are they going to be wishy-washy? Are they going to say, well, we're not so sure about that. Are they going to follow my leadership? Or are they going to rebel against me and rebel against God like many times they did under Moses? And he was called to a tremendously difficult task to lead this group of people with this history that was kind of into battle to take the promised land. Questions, concerns, and fears possibly filled his mind. How could he handle this greater responsibility? What if they didn't accept him? What if he failed? What if they rebelled? And because of that, he needed to be encouraged by God. And this is a great passage on encouragement from God. That's not the focus today. But I just want to point that out. There's 3 times in this passage as we get ready to read it that God has to tell Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. 3 times. God didn't forget he'd already said it. He just knew that Joshua needed to hear it. And can I tell you that we need to hear the same thing sometimes? You know, I can see such a parallel between the history of God's people and our own individual walks with God. In this sense, God's people were in slavery in Egypt. And before we know God, we're in slavery to sin. God set his people free. There was absolutely nothing they could do about it. But God, in his grace and mercy, did what needed to be done so that they could be set free. And the same thing is true for us. We can't do anything to have a relationship with God. But God, in his grace and mercy, says, I will set them free. And he did it through the death of Jesus Christ. And after they were set free, they met with God and God kind of laid out, this is what our relationship is going to be like. And if you will just do this, you will receive all the promises. And the same thing is true for us as we're in this series called Blessed. God has saved us. If you know him, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, you got that relationship with God, has set you free from slavery to sin. Through Jesus Christ, you have a relationship with him. But whether or not you experience all the blessings, the promised land per se that God has for you, comes down to whether you will do what God wants you to do. Because you see, you could spend the whole rest of your life wandering in the wilderness. Not saying you won't go to heaven, you've got a relationship with God if you're trusting in Jesus Christ. But you could spend all your life wandering in the wilderness with everything falling apart in your life. Nothing ever seems to go right or go well because you ignore the plan God has for you. Or we could, like the Israelites under Joshua, say, you know what? We messed it up last time, or our parents messed it up last time. We're not going to do that. We're going to do what God wants us to do so we can experience the promised land, whatever that is for you. So I can experience all the blessings God has for me. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Okay, so what is it that God wants us to do? Let's look at the passage here. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, See, he had training. He had been Moses' assistant for over 40 years. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, there's a promise. You will be prosperous and successful. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So three times God had to tell Joshua, be strong and courageous. He needed to hear that. It's a difficult job, difficult people, following a very strong leader. And we need to hear the same thing. God has great things in store for us. God wants to bless us. But, you know, even if we do the right thing, it's not going to come easy, because life's not easy. We still have our battles to fight. But I'd say God would say the same thing to us. Be strong and courageous. We see, first of all, here God's promise of blessing. And we're not going to spend a lot of time here. But we see that God gave Joshua, as the leader of God's people, he was giving it to all of his people, four specific promises in this passage. Okay? Some of them are kind of general, but they're four specific passages. He says, I will give you the land. We see this in verses 3 and 4. He emphasizes that this land that he has been planning for hundreds of years for his people to inhabit would become theirs. It started with Abraham, and we looked at his story last week, so I won't repeat all of that today, other than the fact that God chose this one man and say, you're the one that is going to be the head of the family, that's going to become a nation through whom I'm going to work, and one day will come the deliverer, the Messiah, who was Jesus Christ. And he made Abraham those promises. He says, I'm going to give you a land. Now, we may not relate to that as much. I mean, all of us want to have our own home and a piece of property. We'd much rather own it than rent it and all that. But it's not as big of a deal to us. But for them in their culture, this represented everything that was good and was of significance. To have your own place. And he says, I'm going to give you the land. He says, every place you set your foot, which meant that they had to go in and take it. They had to go in and tread upon it. They had to go in and do what they need to do to take possession of it. But God says, I'm going to give you the land. He says, no enemy will stand against you. Verse 5, he mentions that. Now, that sounds great, but it has some negative connotations. Number one, you're going to have an enemy. Number two, he's going to try to stand against you. But the good thing is that God says, as you follow me, as you work with me, as you allow me to work in your life and you cooperate with me, no enemy will stand against you. And when you read the book of Joshua, you find that there was only one battle they lost. And it's because they had neglected to do what God said. But every time they were following God's instructions, doing what God wanted them to do and invited them to be a part of their life, no enemy could stand against them. He said, I will be with you wherever you go. And I think we'd so take for granted the presence of God in our lives. We need to just sit and meditate on that sometime. That God is always with us. His presence is always there. Not looking on, uninterested, waiting to see what's going to happen, but actively involved in our lives and our circumstances. And then he made the promise that we're focusing on here. He says, you will be prosperous and successful. You see it in verses 7 and 8, specifically in verse 8 when he says, then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Can I tell you that God makes similar promises to us? Now, we may not relate as much to the one about the land, But we can know that God promises that He will give us everything we need. And then God says that there are even things I'd like to give you above that, because I just want to bless you. I just want to bless you. It gets so easy to take for granted that we have what we need. As we mentioned in the scripture we read before the offering, when Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. You know, don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about shelter. We don't worry about that, do we? You know, I mean, not much. We have those kind of things. But, you know, most of the world, they wonder whether they're going to have those three things most of their lives. We take for granted so much God's blessing already there with the very simple things. But God says, I'll give you what you need. And not only that, but I want to bless you above and beyond that. He promises that when we walk with Him, that no enemy can stand against us either. He promises that He will be with us wherever we go. Those promises are sprinkled all throughout Scripture and even into the New Testament. He says, God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And maybe some of you need to hear that today. There are times that we don't sense His presence. There are times, because of the way things are going in our lives or the circumstances are such, it's like, God, you say you're never going to leave, but I don't know where you're at. I just want to tell you, whether you can sense His presence or not, He is there with you. And He is working on your behalf, and He wants to see you get victory over whatever it is that is oppressing you, if that may be the case. And then that last promise, you will be prosperous and successful. Again, I believe God wants every single one of us to be prosperous and successful. But it will be according to His definition and according to His timing. Now, what is God's plan for this blessing? In other words, what needs to be done? I've already stated that there's certain things that we need to do. He told Joshua exactly what to do. Now, there's a certain aspect of that, that you just need to walk with the Lord, and every day He gives you instructions for those day, for that day. Because when you read the book of Joshua, you find that was the case. You know, after you read this, if you continue to read on through Joshua, there are certain things the people needed to do to prepare themselves to cross the Jordan and to obtain God's blessings. And God gave Joshua specific instructions. He told the people, they did it. Then there were certain things they needed to do to actually cross the Jordan River, because it was at flood stage. There were no bridges. And God said that He would dry up the Jordan River so they could cross on dry ground, just like their ancestors had done 40 years before. So maybe some of them, if they were over that age. But there were certain things they had to do to prepare for that. And then they had to conquer Jericho, and God gave specific instructions for that. And then the next city, and there were different instructions for different situations, but God was always there to give instructions for each specific thing. But we find that there is one general thought, or one general instruction that God gives to Joshua that is always true, that leads to this prosperity and success that God wanted them to experience and that God wants us to experience. Now, I just want to tell you, there are certain blessings that God will give to us unconditionally. If we have a relationship with Him, if we are in Christ, is the way Paul put it, we're putting our trust and our faith and our hope in Christ. There are certain things that God has blessed us with and will bless us with no matter what we do. In fact, I may talk about that next week. The blessings we all have no matter what we do or don't do. We find that God's promise to Abraham was unconditional. But there are so many blessings that God wants to put into our lives that are conditional. It's conditional upon what we do about it. So, what is the condition? I can just wrap it all up in one sentence, and then we're going to look at it in a little bit more detail in the little time that we have left. According to this passage here, and what we see all through God's Word, receiving God's blessing comes from consistent obedience to God and His Word. Say, Pastor, is that all it is? I already knew that. And that may be so. But how consistently do we put that into practice in our lives? Sometimes we got to be reminded about the most basic things because for some reason we're not doing the most basic things. Or maybe we're doing it in certain areas of our life, but not the other ones. That really is the most basic principle to receiving every blessing God has for you, to receive the prosperity and the success that He has for you specifically. Receiving those blessings comes from consistent obedience to God and His Word. And this is true for every area of our life. It's true of our relationships. You want to have the best marriage possible for you and your spouse. You need to walk in consistent obedience to what God says about your marriage, about your relationship, about how you relate to and how you treat your spouse and how you take care of your spouse. Now, obviously, in relationships, there are always two parties. The old saying goes, it takes two to tango. You can be doing the absolute best you possibly can and still struggle because your partner, the other person on the other side of that relationship, whether you're talking about your spouse, a child, a parent, a grandparent, grandchild, a relationship you have with a coworker at work or a friend at school or whatever, you know, you can do the best you possibly can and they can choose to not respond in the same way. But can I tell you that God has instructions for that too? And if you follow those instructions, it'll still be the best it can possibly be. Maybe not all that you wish, all that you desire. But I tell you what, when you have a relationship with someone else who also has a relationship with God, and their desire is to do things God's way, that's one of the greatest relationships you can have, whether you're talking about marriage, friendship, or any other kind of relationship. So it's true in our relationships. It's true in our occupations. Whatever it is that we pursue in this life, whatever it is that God leads us to, God wants us to experience blessing, prosperity, success, and He has instructions on the best way to do that. Whether it's talking about our finances, whether it's talking about school and doing well there, any area of life we can think of. So, how do we practically put this into practice? We find it in verses 7 and 8. And we're going to focus on these two verses for the rest of our time that we have together. When God tells Joshua, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that it is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Let me give you a couple of principles here about God's word and our interaction with it and how we can experience all the blessings that God has for us. The first one is to think about God's word. Think about God's word. Now, I'm not talking about think about, should I read God's word or should I not read about God's word? Or, you know, I know the Bible is God's word. That's all thinking about God's word. But what I'm saying here is that we need to take the time that as we read it, that we think about it. If you're like me, there are times perhaps it's like, you know I really should read God's word because it's God talking to me and all that kind of stuff. And so you sit down to do it and you do it out of duty, out of obligation, maybe with some pressure because you need to get on to do other things. And you read a portion of God's word, whether it's a couple of verses or a chapter or a couple of chapters, whatever it might be. And when you get done, you think, what did I just read? And you don't remember because it was just something to do and get done so you could get on with other things. If we really want God's word to have its impact in our lives, to guide us and lead us to that best life that God has for us, His blessings and that success, we need to think about God's word. That's why God told Joshua that this law, He calls it the law, all they had was Genesis through Deuteronomy, because that's all that had been written so far. Moses wrote that. But he took all that he had. He says, meditate on this. Now, sometimes Christians kind of shy away from the idea of meditation because it seems kind of Eastern mysticism type thing. Well, I want to tell you something. The Bible talked about meditation long before Eastern mysticism. And all meditation means is to really think about something, to explore it with your mind, okay? To turn it over and over, to look at it from all different angles, to try to understand. So we need to think about God's word. We need to meditate on it. We need to learn what we can learn about what God has to say about any particular topic or about every particular topic. The second thing is we need to center our life around God's word. Center your life around God's word. He makes a statement here that can be very easily misunderstood. He says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. He said, what does that mean? That almost sounds like he's saying, don't talk about it. Don't say it out loud because you don't want to let God's word come out of your mouth. That's not what it's saying at all. What it's saying is that may your mouth always be filled with God's word. In other words, may your mouth never be emptied of God's word. But that even sounds kind of funny, too. Saying, does that mean that we always should quote scripture? We should always be talking about the Bible? That's not bad advice, but that's not really what it's talking about either. You see, in their culture, when you read something, you always read it aloud. Don't ask me why. I don't know. Okay? We're so used to, most of the time when we read, we just sit and read and, you know, some of you might read aloud. Some people find that make it easier for them to read. I don't know. But most of us, we just sit and we read and we go through the words in our mind. But in their culture, they always read it aloud. And basically what God is saying is, when you're going through life, whatever you're doing, may the word of God so permeate that it's never outside of your thoughts. It's never outside of your perception. It's never outside of what you're communicating. It doesn't mean that you have to quote scripture for every circumstance in your life, and that if your spouse asks you a question, that you have to find some kind of Bible verse to quote to reply to them. But that God's word so permeates your life that it influences everything about it. Think about it this way. What is it you're passionate about? Now, you don't have to answer out loud. Chances are that's what you spend a lot of time talking about. Last weekend in particular, just to give you an illustration, there are a lot of people talking about football. I'm not saying it's bad. There are some people that are so passionate about football. And when it comes to the Super Bowl, that's the ultimate. Unless, of course, your team didn't make it. But even then, you want to see how it turns out. Your past, people are talking about the Super Bowl. They're talking about beforehand. They're talking about during it. They're talking about it afterwards because that is what they're passionate about. If you've got that special person that you're passionate about, you're going to talk about them. You love your job. I hope you do. But I mean, you can't wait to get to work. And not because you just want to get out of the house. But I'm just saying, you love your job. You talk about it. You know, whatever it is that you have a passion for, you talk about it. And the idea here is don't let God's word depart from your mouth. In other words, let it be so permeated, such an important part of your life that it influences everything else. You know, it's sort of like toothpaste. Oh, wait, how's it like toothpaste? See, I got your attention. Drew you right back, didn't I? When you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, what comes out? Toothpaste. Deep spiritual truth there, isn't it? You know, when the word of God permeates your life, that's what comes out. That's what comes out. It comes out in your words. It comes out in your actions. It comes out in your passions. So think about God's word. Center your life around God's word. And then the third one, and the most important one, is obey God's word. Obey God's word. Say, Pastor, I have heard this all my life. I know. So have I. And sometimes we just need to be reminded. We just need to be reminded. Obey God's word. He said, God said to Joshua things like, be careful to obey. Be careful to do. Again, we just got to get back to this idea that sometimes we struggle with, that God really does know what's best. And that he says, you know, you really should do this. We really should do it. Not just because God's going to zap us if we don't, but because he knows that that's what's best. And if he says, you really shouldn't do this. In fact, I'm not just going to say you really shouldn't, but don't do it. He's got a good reason. He's got a good reason. He really does know what's best. I don't know about you, but I need help in so many areas of my life. I can't do everything. I don't know everything. And so I have to get help from other people. You know, if something needs to be done on my car, I know how to check the fluid levels, and I do that. I know how to check tire pressure. I do that. I know how to change the oil. I actually do that sometimes. A lot of people stop doing that, and that's fine. But that's about it. If anything else happens on my car, I've got to take it to somebody else who knows what to do. For the last 12, 13, 14, 15 years, I've done my own taxes. I've learned over the years what to do, blah, 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 whatever. But you know what? There have been a lot of changes this last year with health insurance and health care and a bunch of other things and some other specific situations. And I sat down to try to do my own taxes this year, and it's like, I can't do it. So I got a meeting this week to meet with someone to have them do my taxes because they know better than I do. Even in an area where I've known fine for several years, because of some changes, because of some other little details, they're going to know better than I am. And believe me, I want to get all the money back I can. It's not being selfish. Get back everything you can. Now do it legally by being honest. Don't lie on your... That's a whole other sermon, isn't it? Say, Pastor, get off that sermon, go on to the other one. Anyway, but that's all part of obeying God too. You see, we need help. And God is the expert on everything. Now, I don't think he's going to help you change the oil in your car or something like that. But I'm just saying God knows what's best and we need to obey what he has to say. Now, let me give you two little subpoints here that are mentioned here. First of all, don't pick and choose. Don't pick and choose. He mentions to Joshua, you need to obey all the law. Do everything that's written in it. You see, we're really good about picking and choosing. It's like, well, okay, well, I'll do what God says about this. But you know, my relationships, I'm going to do something else. Because I won't say it out loud, but I kind of think I know better than what God does. Or I'm going to do what God says about my relationships, but I can handle my own finances. Thank you very much. Because what God has to say seems a little restrictive and it seems a little, that'd be hard to do. And maybe there won't be enough left for what I want to do with my money. Or we say, well, God, I'm going to do what you tell me to do about my finances, but stay out of my sexuality. I mean, you can fill in the blank with anything there. We can't pick and choose. We're all in different processes in our relationship with God, learning to obey him more and more and more. None of us are perfect yet. But don't pick and choose. Don't pick and choose. And not only that, but don't pretend to be the exception. Don't pretend to be the exception. He tells Joshua here that as you're obeying, as you're doing all that God tells you to do, do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Now, you can interpret that a lot of different ways and apply it a lot of different ways. You know, follow God straight ahead, you know, do everything he says, blah, 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 blah. But what I took this to mean, at least something that struck me, is that I don't need to just veer from the course a little bit because I'm an exception. I know God says that this is the way I should handle my marriage, but God doesn't know my wife. I tell you what, God knows your wife. God made your wife. God's at work in your wife. God knows more about your wife than you do. Okay? I know what God says about my finances, but my situation is a little bit different. I know what God says about my sexuality, but my situation is a little bit different. I know what God says about how we should conduct ourselves in the workplace, but he doesn't understand. I can't get ahead unless I break this little thing here or do this little thing here that maybe he wouldn't approve of. You see, we can always find excuses to pretend that we're the exception. But God really does know what's best. I tell you, obeying God, that's the path to his blessings. We need to just learn, and it's not easy, but we just need to learn to just buckle down and do it God's way. Do it God's way. Can I tell you that many times, not always, many times the reason we're not experiencing God's blessing in our lives, in our marriages, in our finances, in our workplace, in our school situation, in our friendships, in all these things is because we're ignoring what God has to say about it. Now, as we follow Joshua's story, you can read it. Joshua did it. There's one battle. Things went wrong. It wasn't even totally Joshua's fault, but anyway, you can read about that another time. But when Joshua did his part, under his leadership, the Israelites had victory after victory and eventually experienced rest in the promised land that God had given them. Now, before we wrap this up in the next couple of minutes, I want to deal with one thing because I want to get this very, very practical. You see, we've got a problem. Many of us, maybe most of us, I'm not going to take a survey. And that is we struggle with a lack of motivation. A lack of motivation in reading and getting into God's Word. A lack of desire to just dig into God's Word. You know we should read God's Word. I could probably ask any of you, how important do you think it is that we spend time in God's Word? Probably most people, if you have a relationship, would say, well, it's pretty important, you know. But then if we could really dig into how much time do we really spend in God's Word, we'd find out that we even though we want to do it consistently, we make resolutions, we have a hard time following through. Maybe we're erratic about how often and when and how we get into God's Word. I can tell you there's a number of reasons for that. One is that we have an enemy that will do anything he can to keep us away from it. A second one is that any area in which we're not following God's Word, it makes us feel guilty or convicted, and we don't necessarily want to deal with that. But then, just to be honest, sometimes parts of God's Word are kind of hard to understand. But understanding comes in time. Let me just give you a simple thought, and then we're going to wrap this up. And my goal is to encourage you to do whatever you need to do to make sure that you're getting into God's Word. Because I want to tell you something, you can't obey God's Word unless you know what it is. I'll tell you what we need to do is we need to stop looking at getting into God's Word as a duty, but understand that that is the means in which we're going to grow in our relationship with God. And let me just say, one of the good things is that nowadays, you don't have to just read God's Word to get into it. Now you can listen to it. You've been able to listen to it for years. You could buy tapes or CDs, but that got expensive. But, you know, nowadays, anybody can listen to it for free. On the computer, or if you got a smartphone or a tablet, you can listen to it for free. If you don't know where to find that, there's a lot of people can show you. I'll show you. There's a lot of ways you can get into God's Word. But I want you to get this one thought in your mind. God wants to speak to you every day. God wants to speak to you every day. You see, sometimes we look at God's Word and say, well, that's something, that's an obligation, it's something I should do. I need to read God's Word because it's important. So I'm just going to force myself to do it. But you know what? If you could just get it in your mind and your heart and your soul and your spirit that God, the God of this universe that you have a relationship with through Jesus Christ, if you do, He wants to speak to you every day. And if you will listen, you will hear His voice. He wants to speak to you to build your relationship. You know, the goal is a great relationship. God wanted a great relationship with His people. God wanted a great relationship with Joshua. And I'll tell you, there's a different attitude you have when you're reading something that builds your relationship. I remember when I was in college and I'd first met Pastor Jan. She wasn't Pastor Jan then. And we started dating. And we'd pass notes to each other in the hall. And I was a lot more excited about reading those notes than I was my textbooks. Now, I made myself read my textbooks because I wanted good grades. I didn't have to make myself to read her notes. I wanted to hear what she had to say to me. If we just get in our minds that God wants to speak to us every day to build our relationship with Him. God loves you and He wants your relationship to grow. He will speak to you every day. And not only to build a relationship, but to give us wisdom. I told you, we need help. We need help. You know, the same thing is sorting through your mail. You know, you get a whole stack of mail and you know how you do it. You go through and say, oop, throw that in the trash. You don't have to open it. You throw it in the trash, right? Junk mail. Forget it. But then there's other things you get. It's like, oh, I want to open that up. You know, especially after you filed your income taxes and it's been a little while and you see that envelope that says from the IRS and you're hoping it's not an audit. But anyway, you know, it looks like a check through the window. I mean, there's certain things that we will open. We're interested. They're going to help us. In the same way, God's Word will help us because we don't know how to make the right decision all the time. You know, there's two ways to learn wisdom. You can learn wisdom from your own mistakes or somebody else's. How many of you would rather learn from somebody else's mistakes? Yeah. We can also learn how to do things right the first time by learning from somebody else doing it right. Or we can stumble through and do it wrong 5 times before we learn the right way. And the Bible says that part of the reason God gave it to us was for that purpose. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, it says, now these things happened to them, people in the past, as an example, but they were written down for our instruction. You can learn the right way to do things and the wrong way to do things by looking at God's Word and the examples that are in there. There's so much wisdom in God's Word, but we blow it by not listening and not doing it. So if we could just get that in our minds, that reading God's Word, spending time in God's Word is not just a duty, it's not an obligation, but it means that we get to hear from a close friend, a father who cares about us, who wants our relationship to grow, who wants to help us with every situation we may ever face. God wants to speak to you every day. The last thing I want to share with you, 2 questions to ask when you go to God's Word. Whether you read just a couple of verses or a couple of chapters, If you're involved in a reading plan, and I mentioned the apps that you can read the Bible and hear it, there's a lot of reading plans you can get involved in. You can read through the whole Bible in a year. If that's too ambitious, choose something that's a little bit easier. The important thing is getting into God's Word. But two questions to ask if you really want to hear from God and begin to walk in obedience. The first one is this: God, what do you want me to know? God, what do you, I've told this to you before, so some of you might recognize it. God, what do you want me to know? What is it that God wants you to learn from what you're reading? What is he trying to tell you? Not just facts. Again, we go back to the idea of meditating, thinking on it. And don't just stop with knowledge. That was the problem with the religious leaders of Jesus' day. They knew the Bible. Most of them had it memorized. But it didn't impact their life. You see, you got to go on from that first question of God, what do you want me to know, to the second question, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? God told Joshua, be careful to do all that I tell you. James tells us, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers also. You see, until we do, it really doesn't matter how much we know. And you've got to be consistent. You've got to be consistent. You know, how often do you eat? Do you eat one day and skip six or seven? I'll take care of that next week. But how often is Sunday morning the only time we really spend time in God's Word? We need that physical nourishment every day. We need spiritual nourishment every day. There's so much more I could say, but we're to the end of our time. I find it very interesting, if you want to read this later, I didn't put it on the PowerPoint, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 to 20. God gave specific instructions to his people. He says, someday you're going to have a king. They didn't have one yet. He says, but when you have a king, one of the king's things the king is supposed to do is before he becomes king, he needs to sit down and copy the entire Bible. Now, their Bible wasn't as long as ours is. It was just basically Genesis through Deuteronomy. That's still a long piece. He's to sit down and he is to copy it because he wants, God says, the king needs to know what I have to say so he can be a wise king and so he can rule wisely. So as we wrap this all up, there's a couple of thoughts I want to leave you from this passage. Number one, God will never leave you or forsake you. Even if you do it wrong, God's not ever going to leave you or forsake you. God wants to bless you. He really does want what's best for you. He wants prosperity and success for you. Again, maybe not according to your definition, but he's got a better definition than you do. And obedience brings blessing. Know and obey God's word. And then be strong and courageous. You can face whatever comes your way in life with God's help, and you can walk in victory and his blessings if you choose to do it God's way.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online at www.marionoaksag.org. If you would like to help support this ministry, please mail your donations to Marion Oaks Assembly of God at the address listed on our website.